What links Beethoven to the Silk Road? Hi everyone, I'm Alistair Willis, music director of the South Bend Symphony Orchestra. Today I'd like to talk about our upcoming South Bend Symphony concert featuring Beethoven's Pastoral Symphony and a Silk Road first half with music by Tan Dunn and Behzad Ranjbaran. Iranian composer Behzad Ranjbaran's Seven Passages is the final work of his Persian trilogy. All three works are inspired by the stories of the Shahnameh, the national epic poem of Persia. These stories about the hero Rostam were a huge part of Behzad Ranjbaran's childhood, capturing his imagination and inspiring him to ultimately set them to music. From the opening notes, Seven Passages instantly embraces us with mystery, romance, and, if I may dare, the heat of the Middle East. The romance is perhaps somewhat reminiscent of Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade, but for me there's a more authentic Arabian feeling and sentiment. As a listener, I feel so swept up in the music that I'm at Rostam's side, and within a few minutes we're riding off on horseback, rescuing king and countrymen, overcoming dragons, and triumphing over witches and demons. As we can hear, this is a highly virtuosic piece, which leaves me thinking after the performance that perhaps the real heroes are the musicians. I met up with Behzad Ranjbaran in Doha, Qatar, where I was conducting Seven Passages. Of all performances he's heard, and there have been hundreds, he told me that the Qatar Philharmonic Orchestra's unique Middle Eastern sound made his piece come alive in new ways. I've loved this piece ever since, and I'm so excited to be bringing it to life again with our South Bend Symphony Orchestra's unique sound. As the Qatar Philharmonic has gone on to program many more of Behzad's works, I hope the same will happen here with our South Bend Symphony Orchestra. Next up is Tan Dunn's Concerto for String Orchestra and Pipa. If you've not heard of a pipa, it's an ancient Chinese instrument that can be traced back over 2,000 years. It has four strings that are plucked by the fingers. It has a pear-shaped wooden body and is sometimes known as the Chinese lute. The concerto was composed for the world's premier pipa virtuoso, Wu Man, who will be joining us for this performance. She is an amazing artist, and that's not just my opinion. She was recognized by Musical America in 2013 as Instrumentalist of the Year. I've had the pleasure of working with her before on this concerto, as well as with Yo-Yo Ma's award-winning Silk Road Ensemble, with whom she was a founding member. Tan Dunn, the world-renowned artist and UNESCO Global Goodwill Ambassador, needs little introduction. His music is played throughout the world by leading orchestras, opera houses, festivals, in movies, on television, and more. He's won all of today's most prestigious honors, including a Grammy and an Oscar. What I love about his music is that it's so innovative, imaginative, overtly theatrical. It's cultural, global, fascinating, and gripping. When I first heard his Pipa Concerto, I was gripped by the first stomp. That's the first thing we hear, a foot stomp from everyone on stage. I'd never heard or seen an instrument like the Pipa before. I was mesmerized by the sound, and by watching the soloist's technique. Fingers moved incredibly fast to create a sustained roll, and to me, the bending of notes simulated Chinese speech and dialect. With a combination of Western strings, violins, violas, cellos, basses, and Chinese pipa, I was expecting a fusion of East and West. In the program, I saw four movements. Okay, I thought, that's reminiscent of a Western Baroque concerto. Now, to be honest, I was expecting the pipa to do the fusion and play in a way familiar to me, but quite the opposite. It was as if the stomp was there to clear any expectations I had, as Tan Dun has the strings enter more into the sound world of the pipa. For 10 minutes, I was drawn into an unfamiliar but extremely engaging new world of slides, bent notes, eerie trills, ghostly tremolos from all instruments on stage. Then, in the third movement, a shift of fusion, as Tan Dun combined a Chinese folk song with Bach. That folk song is called Little Cabbage, and there's a great story behind its appearance in the concerto. In 1993, Tan Dun called Wu Man and asked her if she knew any folk songs. The one that came to mind was called Little Cabbage. He asked her to sing it to him over the phone, and thanks to that call, Tan Dun included it in his concerto, in the same key that matched her voice. Wu Man tells me that the concerto would have ended up differently if she'd sung him a different song. The piece continues with a fascinating, fiery energy that swept me up as I listened. For me, it was a magical introduction to the pipa, and I hope it will be for you too. Ludwig van Beethoven gave his sixth symphony the following title: Pastoral Symphony, or A Recollection of Country Life. More an expression of feeling than a painting. This is a symphony that brims with gentle poetic beauty and affirms the sheer splendor of nature and life. Beethoven's pastoral has become extraordinarily special to me, for which I must give some credit to Disney's Fantasia, which I loved as a kid. To me, this symphony, composed in 1808, is all the more remarkable when put in proper context. Beethoven was going deaf. Serious infections threatened the loss of a finger. He moved four times that year and was surrounded by a nervous political climate. Napoleon had occupied Vienna since November 1805. Under such stress, to compose such calm and beauty is quite astonishing. Beethoven loved nature. He felt good in the countryside. It was a healing place for him. He often went on long walks, taking his sketchbook with him, jotting down musical inspiration. His pastoral symphony describes feelings about the countryside, a brook, peasants' merrymaking, a storm, and then gratitude for the rain. Hang on, since when did symphonies depict postcard scenes or bad weather? Symphonies were supposed to adhere to classical form. If you wanted music that describes something, you went to church or the opera. The Pastoral Symphony is one of the first programmatic symphonies, and Beethoven's only one for which he provided written descriptions for each movement. It's not without classical form, which, in true Beethoven fashion, he stretches. It's his only symphony that has 5 movements. All his others have just 4. Also remarkable is that the 3rd, 4th, and 5th movements are joined together without pause. I always look forward to the 2nd movement, the scene by a brook. As a listener, this calm, flowing, timeless music always relaxes me. I think I fell asleep the first time I heard it. Okay, the first few times I heard it. As a conductor, this is something I can't do. On the surface, the music appears quite repetitive. But as I've studied it over the years, it's only become more fascinating to me. Within the repetition, there is so much interest, invention. There's something new to notice in every measure. As a conductor, my crucial role is tempo. And I remember loving having endless conversations as a student about the tempo of this very movement. Recordings range from 11 minutes to over 15. That's quite a span, so which is correct? Also, should I allow for rubato, which means robbing or taking time to enjoy a special musical moment, or plow straight on in tempo? These are decisions that are the conductor's responsibilities to make. My last performance was about 12 and a half minutes, and yes, I do believe this music needs tasteful rubato to bring out the special moments. The most groundbreaking moment comes near the end of the movement, where the music all of a sudden stops. Beethoven introduces a cadenza for a flute, oboe, and clarinet, who represent the stream's resident musicians, a nightingale, quail, and cuckoo. Instruments had simulated birds before, for example in Rameau's harpsichord music, but never before in a symphony. It's such a special moment. I also really look forward to the 5th movement, titled Shepherd's Song, Happy and Thankful Feelings After the Storm. This movement always reminds me that there's more than one way to look at something. How often have I considered a storm a nuisance or preventative of being able to play outside or take the dog for a walk? Not to mention the inconvenience of becoming cold and wet if caught in one. The 5th movement doesn't refer to the storm as in any way negative, but rather points to gratitude for the life-giving rain, affirming the continuity of nature.
Thank you.
music is so comforting and positive. The feeling I get as a listener at the end of a performance is one of deep satisfaction and contentment. I often wonder how Beethoven would compose a pastoral symphony if he were alive in today's environmentally conscious world. Or perhaps this symphony is his reminder to us to appreciate what we have, to take time to smell the roses. There's so much more to explore and discover in this symphony, and I wish you satisfaction and contentment with every performance you attend. Thanks for listening.